Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we conclude our Pledge Drive series, where every day we've ended the show with Bill McDonald, the obituaries editor for the New York Times. We've been picking an obituary from the Times of that day and talking about the life of that person who died. Significant, if sometimes unsung, American lives. Bill, thanks one more time for doing this with us. Our listeners have loved it. How you doing today?
Good morning, Brian. Good.
And today's obituary is for someone whose name may not be as well known as his best known book, and that is Bernard Weber, who passed away last Thursday, we see, in his Baldwin, Long Island home at 91. And he's best known for the children's books he wrote and illustrated about Lyle the Crocodile, who lived on the Upper East Side. That first Lyle book, The House on East 88th Street, came out in 1962, and many, if not all of them, are still in print. And I'll say that I read my kids the Lyle books decades later when they were little. So what can you tell us about Lyle and Mr. Weber?
Well, I'm with you. His books were in my house as well. My young son, when he was young, read many of them. Mr. Weber wrote 33 books altogether for children, and they sold almost 2 million copies, which is quite spectacular for any author, particularly in the children's book world. But Lyle the Crocodile was his ingenious creation, who lived on the Upper East Side and taught children all kinds of simple but important lessons about inclusion and acceptance and enjoying the life of that you have. One particular story is called Lovable Lyle. Lyle learns that someone doesn't like him on his block and is written down with crocodiles on a fence. And his mother, his human mother, tells him, sometimes not everyone likes you and you can't always please everyone. And, those kinds of simple lessons were transmitted, and they're just pretty delightful books.
Lovable Lyle. Even Lovable Lyle had an enemy.
Right. He even had an enemy.
A life lesson. Someone writes, down with crocodiles on a fence near his townhouse, and people learn that lesson. Well, one theme that's emerged for me during our series is that in so many ways World War II changed people's paths. A lot of that generation passing now and reflected in these obits. And one obituary this week that we didn't feature was for Baruch Spiegel, who fought in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising.
Right.
But many people's lives changed, of course, then, including Bernard Weber, who studied accounting before going into the Army during the war, and then he studied art on the GI Bill afterwards. Mm-hmm. Funny career path from accounting to art, and thanks to the GI Bill in this case, looks like. Geza Vermesh, the biblical scholar we talked about, even titled his memoir Providential Accidents, and we saw that in Thomas Messer's story, too, last week. His boat to England, torpedoes at the outbreak of the war, he eventually ends up in the U.S.
Yeah, the war had such a pivotal role in millions of lives, and we're still seeing them. You know, that generation, the one that fought that war, is dying out literally. But we're also finding many people who were young during the war. They were children. They were teenagers. They were part of families that were refugees. All kinds of stories that they can tell, and they all really do pivot on the war, and it's just an incredible experience that changed millions of lives, as you say.
And for you as an obit editor, I know Marguerite Fox wrote a piece in last week's Sunday Review where she said the stories obit writers love best are those of history's backstage players, the unsung men and women who, though no one knows their names, have managed to put a wrinkle in the social fabric. Is that true for you?
Oh, absolutely. We do enjoy writing those. We enjoy discovering those people, and often we discover them when they've died. They did and discover that they made an impact that maybe didn't get a lot of attention in their lives. But in retrospect, they had an important role, and we like to put a spotlight on that. And often they're the most fascinating stories because they're people doing heroic things, often, without any fame or glamour attached. So, yeah, we definitely passionately love to do those kind of people.
And we will have to leave it there. Thanks to Bill McDonald, the obituaries editor for the New York Times, who has joined us each day of the drive. And now people maybe will be reading the obits with a little different eye. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Lyle, can you help with the clothing drive? The Reverend wants to know.
Okay, he can't be president because he's from the Nile. But if he could, I'll bet we would elect a crocodile.
The Lyle books, by the way, were adapted into two children's musicals, if you didn't know, an animated one for HBO and a live stage version that, to judge from YouTube, is popular in children's theater. So this is from the HBO musical. As we say goodbye today, and stay tuned for the Leonard Lopate Show.
I don't know how we ever did without a crocodile.